Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. We'll read the first four verses this evening. In responsive reading, I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2, all the way through verse number 4. Then we'll also read one other verse in the same chapter. Colossians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For Christ, which whose our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." We'll read verse number 23 together. Same chapter, Colossians chapter number 3, verse 23. Ready? "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy it's been today, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to be with your people. Lord, once again this evening, now we ask that you'd be with our preacher, our pastor, Lord, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, please, would you do just that? Lord, we ask tonight be special. Lord, tonight would be, Lord, personal, Lord, in our lives. Lord, as he preaches, Lord, may we take the truth. Lord, may we hide it in our heart. Lord, may we look to do more for you, be closer to you. Lord, to be more productive, Lord, in your work because of what's done here tonight. We ask it all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I kind of want to talk to you individually tonight. I'm not going to preach to you as a church necessarily, but I think if you'll listen to me, just kind of as if we were sitting in my office and I'm on one side of the desk and you're on the other, I think if we just have a little talk tonight, that's kind of how I want to approach the sermon. There is more to life than just eating. Amen. Especially when you don't have smell or taste. Working, collecting money, spending money, etc. The average human fails to look past their own needs and wants and see life in reality. Let me maybe break it down a little farther. Life is a series of cycles that prepare you for the next cycle. Life is a series of cycles. And each cycle prepares you for the next cycle. Infancy prepares you for childhood. Childhood prepares you for the teen years. It does not prepare the parents. Teen years prepare you for college or young adult life. Young adult life prepares you for midlife. Midlife prepares you for older middle life. And then older middle life prepares you for your senior years. By the way, to the average person, this is where life stops. God made us with an eternal soul, though. God made us to live forever. This means that all of our life prepares us for the next life. Though our body may wear out and die, our life does not die. About 3 weeks ago, we buried my mother. Can I tell you something? She's still alive. She just changed addresses. She changed bodies. But she's still alive. Mrs. Diener's husband changed addresses, but he's still alive. Shannon's foster mom's changed addresses, but she's still alive. Brother Fred is more than alive and being ornery in heaven, I'm sure. He's causing somebody troubles up there for sure. You see, our life does not die. That means we are to live now for preparation for the next life. We read in Colossians chapter 3, "If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Where is that? Heaven. Okay, you sound like a bunch of Methodists. Where is that? There you go, heaven. "Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth." Can I tell you something? And just let me talk to you for a second. We are too attached to the things of this earth. We spend most of our life for the things on this earth, and let me ask you a question. How much have you prepared for eternity? If tonight were the night you go to heaven, are you ready? I'm not just talking about being saved. Are you ready? Have you invested your life throughout your life getting ready for what's awaiting you in heaven someday? Can I'm not looking forward to dying, just so you know. I don't mind doing it as long as I don't have to hurt. The thought of hurting when it happens just doesn't make sense to me. But may I say this, I really believe if I took my last breath here, I have no regrets. I tried to live my life getting ready for the next life. I try to live in such a way, Brother Josh, that if I know how to praise God here, I'm going to learn how to do it there, but I'm not going to be in the no credit English class for it. I think I'll be ready to move ahead a little bit. I'd like for when I die not to have to lose any time or step when I get there. I just want to pick up and keep running a little faster. You see, so much of our life is based on what is here. By the way, that's why to the lost world, death is so final. This is all they have to look forward to. They have nothing to look forward to other than hell and the uncertainty of eternity. But to those of us who are saved, man, this is just infancy. This is just the beginning stage of our life. This is just getting us ready for eternity. Now, let's look and see how we can best use this life to get ready for eternal life. Number one, we glorify God and we get ready for the next life by winning souls. Can I tell you something? Lost people can't honor God. Only saved people can. Can I tell you something? I'm glad. And if this sounds like it's lifting me up, it's not. But I'm glad when my wife and I get to heaven, there's going to be tens and tens and tens and many tens of thousands of people that'll be there that we helped get saved. I mean that. In the churches we've been in, the hundreds of thousands of people that have been saved because of the work that we've put into our Christian life, so to speak, getting ready. Good night. I'm glad when I get there, there's going to be people walk up and say, do you remember me? Nope. Well, you knocked on my door. Do you remember when you preached in such and such town and these people got saved? I was one of them. Whew. I can't wait for that. Now, that's what makes God happy. That's what makes eternity worthwhile. Jesus's price at Calvary is made useless if people don't get saved. If we don't get the message of Christ out, his death was in vain. He put it on our shoulders and on our mouths, and it's our responsibility. He paid the price. We have to take it to the rest of the world. Do you want to make Calvary worthless? I'll be honest with you. When I look at my Savior, when I get to heaven and I look him eyeball to eyeball, I know I will bend the knee because I am very unworthy and I have been a sinner. But may I say this, I hope with every fiber of my body, he says, look around how many people got saved because of you. I've won people to Christ that are now missionaries, preachers, pastors' wives, full-time Christian workers, people that are building churches all over the world. Hey, I have no idea how many people have been saved as a result of one shy, introverted young man that decided someday he'd like to do the will of God for his life. I wonder maybe if when I get to heaven, God's going to say, watch this. And he pulls a huge crowd of people together and say, these are the ones here because of you. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ's death, is Calvary, is the gospel worthless to you because we don't take it to anybody? We will honor God by getting people saved and going to heaven. When after Mom had passed, I knew Mom had been saved since she was a girl. But I didn't realize, my dad told me, that my aunt won my mom to Christ. My dad's sister won my mom to Christ when they were girls. There was only two houses between them. Yeah, actually one house between them. Two-story houses, they would shout across from the houses, from the windows. You see, we quench the Holy Spirit when we don't get the gospel out. How many times has the Holy Spirit bothered you and said, give them a track or witness to them, and you didn't do it? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. We quench the Holy Spirit in us when we don't share the gospel with somebody and they don't get born again by the same Holy Spirit that's in us. You want to get ready for heaven? Send people ahead. Send people ahead. Please don't take this the wrong way, but Miss Wally, thank God I didn't give up on Brother Fred. I sent him on ahead. That honored critter, he was minutes from going to heaven and he's still fighting it. You say, why? Because that's Fred. But I leaned over and said, Fred, it's okay. You're getting ready to go to heaven. Let's show him how to do this. By the time I drove from hospice back here, got to my office, he was there. Literally. Now, may I say something? He wasn't ready before then. He almost died on us three other times. He was less than an hour from death, and I said, Fred, you got to get... He said, I'm not ready yet, preacher. I said, Fred, you're going to... I literally said, you're going to bust hell wide open and fry in hell for eternity. He said, I'm not ready yet. Hard-headed mule. Oh, but thank God I stayed after it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Miss Wally and my wife sitting in the dining room at the table praying while I'm talking to Fred. And finally he said, okay. Sitting in that old chair with the oxygen mask on in the living room, bowed his head and trusted Christ. Whew. That's called getting ready for eternity. That's called getting ready for heaven. That's called getting the Holy Spirit working. The greatest motive to win souls should be that it glorifies God, not what it does for us. I used this recently. I'll say it again. I was in my early 30s. I was about 2 years older than he is. I was working for Brother Hiles. He had just preached on heaven. And I was taking him. I was with him somewhere, just him and I. I think I was going to the airport with him. Brother Mike, I said, preacher, why is it that a guy my age can preach on heaven and people say, oh, that's good. But when a man like you gets up and preaches on heaven, a man of your age, it just seems so much more real. After he slapped me in the shoulder, said, are you calling me old? I said, no, sir. He said, son, that's a very easy answer. He said, I know more people there than I know here. I'm 53. I've sent a lot of people ahead. Can I tell you something? I'm starting to know more people there than I know here. And it becomes more and more real as that happens. You see, that's much the same with our eternal life. We need to get ready for eternal life by sending people ahead here that we love. Let's get them ready for eternal life so that we can spend eternity with them. So, number one, we glorify God by and get ready for eternity by winning souls. Number next, when we win souls, we ruin Satan's eternity. I love that. I love that statement. Did you know every person that gets saved, you can go to the devil? The devil's mad, and I am glad he lost the soul he thought he had. Can I tell you something? Every time I win somebody to Christ, I talk to the devil for just a minute. And I say, nah, 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 that's one you didn't get. And you'll never get your picking fingers on them. And they're going to heaven. And you can't take them away. I get excited about that. I watch these bus kids or watch somebody walk an aisle here in church. And I think, take that, devil. Brother Fugit will use a statement. He'll say, that'll twist the devil's whiskers. Well, that's not the part I'm aiming for, but if that's all I can grab, I'll grab it. Amen? I'm for it. I'm for it. Psalm 9. Psalm 9, let me read a verse to you. This is a verse that should rock you a little bit. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Wow. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. By the way, that could be America too. Just so you know. You see, we should care enough about the souls of men to try to keep them out of hell. And if it motivates you to do it in order just to give the devil a bad day, let's do it. Do you realize that God does, or the devil doesn't care how he keeps people out of heaven? He just wants to keep them out of heaven. And I'll tell you where the devil's going to work hardest. It's not going to be in the bars. It's not going to be in the strip joints. It's not going to be anywhere like that. It's going to be in the churches in a place like this. I hate to disappoint you, but this old preacher is stubborn enough, he's not going to give in to the new ways. Say why? Because I want to give the devil a bad eternity. You watch these churches that are changing and going contemporary, how many people are really getting saved? It's all a show. It's all come and feel good about it, and let's all hold hands and dance, and we'll put our time in. It's Catholic with a twist. That's all it is. No, we're supposed to be about getting people saved. I believe children ought to learn how to win people to Christ. I won my first person to Christ in second grade. He was the school bully. I won him to Christ. Haven't heard from him in many, 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 many decades. But to do know one thing, he won't be a bully in heaven because he got saved. Can I tell you something? I'm glad that from the time I was in second grade, probably 8 years old, I won somebody to Christ. In January 7th, 1976, I went into the hospital with a hip disease. It was in traction for 3 weeks. Dad, you'll remember this. And back then, they didn't have private rooms. You had the pediatric ward. It was a room, I'm guessing, about the size of this auditorium. And there must have been 25, 30 beds in there. And I'm laying in there with my leg hanging out in traction. There was a kid about three beds over across from me. His name was Patrick. He had been hit by a car, and he was in a full body cast from here, from the chest down. He had broken both arms, both legs. He was a mess. I'm sure Patrick was a couple years older than I, but he was all messed up. Man, he had one arm up, one leg up on the other side. I mean, he just lay in there. I can't tell you how many nights, and I never saw his face. Neither of us could sit up enough to see the other one. And he would be crying. I'd say, Patrick, what's the matter? We would talk. I don't know how late it was one night, but everything was dark, and only he and I were awake in the room. And I said, Patrick, why are you so afraid? He said, I don't know if I'll die. And I said, well, do you know where you're going when you do? He said, no. And I remember laying there in 1976 on my back in the hospital, talking to a young man across the room I couldn't even see. And he prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Amen. By the way, it was during that time that the Holy Spirit started saying, maybe you ought to serve me full time. Wouldn't you like to do that all the time? Fought it for a few years, but that was the seeds planted into my call into the ministry. Never have seen the young man again. I'm sure he's in, I know he's older than I am, have no idea, never heard from him ever again. But I know someday I'll see him. That gives the devil a bad eternity. I'll often tell people, let's try to give God a good day today. Well, how about we give the devil a bad day today?
Amen.
And you'll give the devil a bad eternity by winning people to Christ. Folks, I wish you could understand how wonderful it is. It's a little fearful. I get it. To walk up to somebody that you don't know and say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And give them the gospel. I know that's a little fearful, but that's our flesh. Something kicks in. And when they say no, and you say, well, first of all, you got to realize you're a sinner. Well, everybody already knows they're a sinner. It doesn't take a lot of convincing to tell people they're sinners. When you get that far with them, something inside just starts working. And it just gets faster and faster. And gooder and gooder. Not good English, but it's good preaching. Amen. It just starts getting better and better and better and better and better. And all of a sudden, you watch that person who is lost and on their way to hell. And you never met them before. They listen to you about a heaven you've never been to. About a God you've never seen. From a book that he gave us. And they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is enough to make you want to go tell somebody else.
Amen.
That's enough, as I would say, to make you want to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. I'm ready after that. Man, here we go. Let's find another one. Blind dog in a meat house. Here we go. You see, the wicked will be turned into hell. It's our job to tell people how to get saved. Brother Fred, after he got saved all over.
That's
right. That man, did he go with you, brother? Brother Barnes, he went out soul winning with Brother Barnes dragging an oxygen bottle.
Yeah.
Huffing and puffing, dragging an oxygen bottle. Every time he went to the hospital, I had to meet him there because he was already out of tracks. Every doctor, every nurse, every person that walked into his room, he was giving them tracks and witnessing to them.
Right.
I would walk down the hall and the nurses would say, he's in this room. They're looking at a track. Got my ugly face on there. You're the pastor, aren't you? Yep. Fred's pastor. Yep. He's down there. Okay, thank you. I never got to give a track out at the hospital on his floor, ever. He already got them all. Can I tell you something? That's a wonderful way to live. If you could have sat here and asked Fred what was better, the last years of his life after he got saved or all the years combined before it, he'd tell you the last few years of his life were the best. Say why? He was looking forward to heaven. He really was. You see, we should have at least as much compassion on eternal souls as the physical man drowning in a lake. If somebody were drowning or if somebody were in a fire, you would do your best to rescue them. Then why wouldn't we pull somebody out of the eternal fire of hell? You would warn somebody that their house was on fire, but are you warning anybody that they're going to die and go to hell? Well, it's just a fearful thing, preacher. Why? Why do we make it such a fearful thing? I know I have flesh. I'll say it again. Man, I hope they're not home. I still get that feeling, just so you know. But boy, as soon as you hear the floor creaking and the door starting to open, something happens and it starts in my toes and works all the way up. And I hand them that gospel track and tell them I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. And all of a sudden something kicks into overdrive and here we go. Vroom. Now the moments before then, it's not vroom, it's uh-oh. I get it. But let's ruin Satan's eternity by keeping people out of hell. You want to have a good eternity? Let's ruin the devil's eternity. You want to have a good eternity? Send people ahead to heaven so that you can meet them there. Number three, when we do that, listen to this statement. You can see more people in heaven because you've encouraged others here on earth to get involved. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Say, preacher, that's not all real spiritual. It might not be spiritual, but it's good preaching. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Can I tell you something? When we win souls, we encourage others, and we help build the church. By the way, didn't Jesus pay for the church with his own blood at Calvary?
That's right.
And I think if we would help build the church, we would have a better eternity. Don't you? He paid for it with the same blood he paid for our salvation. I'm going to make a few statements here. Seeing people saved from hell encourages everybody. Preacher, why do you have people come to the forward and you read their name that they got saved? Number one, we're supposed to make it public. Yeah. Number two, it encourages you to say, man, there's people getting saved around here.
Amen.
A soul-winning church is a happy church. Did you ever notice the spirit of this place? Do you know in 8.5 years, there hasn't been one week go by people haven't been saved in this church? Can I tell you why it's happy? You ladies especially, but when there's a new birth, everybody gets all excited. All right? As long as it's not coming into my house, it's okay. But, you know, the Bandys brought their new baby today, and all the ladies were oohing and awing, and everybody was excited about a brand new baby. Did you know that a brand new spiritual birth is just as exciting? And you can keep that spirit going by having more people get saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you a contributor or just looking at it? People who get saved need a church like ours to grow in. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need a church like ours.
That's right.
The ladies were knocking on some doors not far from here yesterday, and there's three new families that are interested in our church. They're close. Praise the Lord. But you know, we have people that, from where Brother Randy lives and Brother Mike lives, there's about 70 miles between them. I think it's 68 miles, 67.8 miles, something like that, between those two. I mean, they're way apart. Guess what? There's a lot of people between Brother Mike and Brother Randy as far as how many people live in this area. That means there's a lot of people we can tell about it and bring them to church. If they're already saved, good. Then hard part's done. Let's get them in church. And let's grow together and teach them how to win souls. By the way, let's give people a fresh start. That's why you'll hear this preacher say, quit looking down your Pharisaical stew. Well, where have you been your whole life? That kind of trash doesn't need to take place in our church.
Amen.
And when new people come, there's no such thing as a clique here. Invite them. And if you're too good to participate with somebody, then maybe you ought to hit the altar first. Because we're all sinners. We're going to be in heaven together. You better learn to get along together. Well, I don't like that person. Well, they don't like you either, but you can still get along. Just because you're married to them doesn't mean it. I mean, give people a chance. Be patient with people. You know, we're going to bring people in here that really don't understand church. Be patient with them. Be patient with the bus kids when they come in and sit in the auditorium. They've never been taught. We're trying to. Brother Lopez is teaching them in junior church, and I love what he's doing in junior church. He's got ushers in junior church, but they can't usher unless they have a tie on. Say why? He's getting them ready for big church. He's teaching them how to behave somewhat. you know, nobody's perfect, right, Brother Joe? But he's trying to get them ready for real church here, but he's having real church in there. I love it. 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 In other words, let's each one reach one. If each one of us would reach somebody, look what God could do. And look how encouraging that would be to you. Many of you have brought people to church, and I'm excited about it, and I love watching I love watching the fear in your face. They're Catholic, preacher. Are you preaching against the Catholics today? I've heard that I don't know how many times. I don't know, but if I do, so be it. But it just you know, look, I've got a friend, I've got a visitor, and that makes me excited. Can you imagine if you did that every week, how excited you'd be? Or at least try to? So, let me finish with this, and I'll be done. This is going to probably be the most interesting part of heaven. And if you'll listen to me, I can teach you something about heaven. We will be known in heaven as we're known on earth. We will be known in heaven as we're known on earth. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And look at verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now look at me for a second. First part of that verse says, for now I see through a glass darkly. In other words, I have a glimpse of heaven because of the word of God, but I can't personally see it clearly yet. But someday I'm going to get there and be there face to face. But I want you to notice the last part of the verse. Then shall I know, even as I am known. Dad, when we get to heaven, we're going to know Mom. When we get to heaven, we're not a bunch of robots that all look the same. There's some idiot preacher years ago, Pete Ruckman, idiot. Oh, everybody's going to be a 33 and a half year old male when they get to heaven. Okay. He is a little off in many areas, let me tell you. I said, I don't have a problem with it, but I got a problem with my mom turning into a man. Something not right here. No, the Bible says that we will be known as we are known. Now, listen to this statement. When we get to heaven, we don't become robots and all become the same. You don't become God and become all-knowing. When you leave this earth and you drop this robe of flesh, when you get to heaven, you are the same soul. You have an eternal soul and an eternal spirit. You have a temporary body.
Right.
You'll put on an eternal body, but your soul and your spirit will still be the same. The only thing that changes is this. Your memory of sin and your inability to sin will be in heaven.
Amen.
You won't have any memory of sin or sinful things. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And you won't be able to think of sinful things or do sinful things in heaven. That's the only thing that changes. Brother Steve, you're going to have the same personality in heaven, just not sinful. That's discouraging. No. But we will be known in heaven as we are known on earth. I will know my mom in heaven. I'm going to know Brother Hiles in heaven. I'm going to know my grandparents. I'm going to know my wife's family that's there. I'm going to know thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I have sent ahead to heaven. You say, why? Because I will know them as they are known here on earth. Your personality isn't going to change other than you lose its sinfulness. Some of you are going to have a total transformation.
Amen,
Amen, Chris. and by the way, Brother Harry, she's going to need you to borrow your dog to get her home since she can't find her glasses. All right? we lose our knowledge of sin and we'll lose our sin nature, but we will keep our personality. Now, let me help you with something. That means this. If you have lost loved ones who don't go to heaven, God will wipe that memory from your mind. Because there's no way you could be in eternity living with that knowing they're burning in hell. God will protect you for eternity and that memory will be gone. You say, that's sad. No, it won't be because it's not even there for you to remember. God will keep you pure and clean and holy and happy in heaven by erasing that memory from your memory bank. Say, how does he do it? For some of you, it's real easy. Colossians chapter 3, we read it just a little while ago. Verse number 2, set not your affections on things on your earth, or set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. We ought to be ready to set our affections, that word affection, our love, our desires, the things that we long to do. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't have a bucket list for earth. I got a bucket list for heaven. Brother Mike, there's a lot of things I guess I wished I would have done or could have done, but my bucket list includes things to get more people to heaven. My bucket list is going to be built on eternity, not here. I'm coming back here someday and ruling the world with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. I'll get to see plenty of it. I'd rather wait till the millennium and God removes the curse from the earth and see it than to see it now and lose things in heaven. I'm going to set my affections, my desires. Now, we have to have money to live. I get that. We have to have certain things by which to live. You got to have food. You got to have a place to live. You got to have clothing. But it doesn't mean that we go so far in debt that we can't do anything for God and we lose our blessings in heaven and we have to be so busy here taking care of our wants here that we don't have any affections for eternity. I heard a preacher say, well, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. No, there are some people that are just foolish. But I am working towards heaven. I was working out in my yard years ago, not in my new house, my old house. My neighbor came over. He knew I was a preacher. And he said, boy, you work hard. You work a lot of hours. I said, yeah, I do. He said, all those hours you work, couldn't you afford a nicer house? And I said, well, I don't get paid by the hour, first of all. I said, but my retirement benefits are out of this world. He said, really? What kind of retirement benefits do you have? I'm sitting in the dirt, got dirt up to my elbows, was planting flowers or something in the front, and I just looked up. He went, oh. Turned around, walked away. Couldn't figure out why he walked away from me. But I meant it. My retirement benefits are out of this world. I may not have a lot in the bank when I die, but may I say this? My retirement benefits aren't here. They're in heaven. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on retreading. I plan on working till the day I die, give all I got, and as Dr. Anderson would say, kick off and go to heaven and enjoy heaven. You see, we're to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me ask you a question. Pile your bills up and see how much of it involves eternity. How many hours extra do you have to work to take care of your wants here versus things for heaven? Let's get ready for heaven by acting more here like we will act there. You're not going to sit on a cloud and sprinkle spoofle dust and play a harp. Thank God. And some of you would need big clouds. All right. But may I say this? We ought to get ready for heaven. Did you know someday in heaven you're going to praise him? How about you learn to praise him here so you don't have to learn how to do it there? Amen. How about you learn to do it here so you don't feel awkward doing it in person? How about you learn to glorify him now so that when you get there, you can glorify him with what you did? How about in heaven, we're going to shout. We're going to praise God. Well, learn how to shout down here. Have a glory fit. Matter of fact, we read in Colossians 3, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I am not trying to live my life to please you. I want to live my life to please him. I want to live my life so that when I take my last breath, maybe one day I'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many." I'm not working for a position. I just want to please him. You see, let me ask you a question. Are you working on getting ready for eternity? I'm going to say this. The rapture may not be far away. If the rapture took place, I wonder how many people would be a little disappointed because they're not ready for it yet. You wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know how to act in heaven. Can I tell you something? How about we learn to live here like we will in heaven someday? Now, we're sinners here. It's a little harder. Let me finish with these couple statements and I'm done. Getting ready for eternity will be done by winning souls, walking with God here, by reading your Bible, studying your Bible, prayer, and being at church, and serving God. And focusing on the life to come in the next cycle. On December 16th, when my mama took her last breath here, she just changed addresses. She didn't quit living. By the way, she went with a smile. Can I tell you why? She was waiting on that next level. She was excited about the next level. And she can stand. She can walk. Her feet don't hurt. Her knees don't hurt. Her back doesn't hurt. Her hips don't hurt. Her shoulders don't hurt. And she got her attitude fixed because she's not hurting. She's happy. She worked her whole life to get ready for that next level. And when she left here, by the way, she is known there as she was known here. Because we will be known even as we are known. God's not going to change your personality when you get to heaven. You're just going to lose your sinful nature and your memory of all sin. You'll have the same personality. Brother Randy, let's work on yours. All right? Did I do good on that, Leanne? Did I say that right? Got it. All right. Let's get ready for eternity. You know, I'm for all the things that we live here on earth, but the song we sang just a little while ago, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Hey, is that true for you? Or is everything that you have stacked up here for earth? How much time in that book do you dedicate? How much time in prayer and walking with God? I'm not saying you got to put 3 hours a day in it. But do you read it at all? Do you pray at all? Do you fellowship with him at all? I think we ought to get ready. Someday you're going to see him face to face. About 9:20 on December 16th on that Wednesday morning, I got the phone call that Mom was in heaven. And I looked up and I said, "Jesus, you got two hugs. One for my mama, for her, and the next one was for me." Because I always told her if she got there before I did to make sure she hugs him and tell him I love him. I told Brother Fred the same thing. People that are near death that are still coherent, I'll say, "Do me a favor, if you get there before I do, give him a hug and tell him I love him." I've sent a lot of hugs ahead to heaven. But one day I'll get to hug him. I'll get to shake his hand. I'll get to look him eyeball to eyeball. And I want to be ready. How about you? Let's get ready for eternity. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, how ready for eternity are you? I'm not talking about just being saved. Are you really, really ready for heaven?